I'm going to preach today on keys to healthy bones. I want you to leave realizing that bad thoughts sow bad feelings. Our text is in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Let's read together, verse 1 and then verse 3. Let us begin. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease because they are few. Dear Holy Father, we do pray in the name of our Lord Jesus, thanking you for a perfect Bible, a preserved Bible. We thank you for the gospel, salvation by grace through faith alone for eternal salvation. And we thank you that you put before us the hope of a kingdom to strive for during the millennium with lots of prizes, Lord. We do pray that we will fear you and that you will help us, Lord, maintain our temples as well as our inward parts in holiness. In the fear of God, in Jesus' holy name, amen. You may be seated. You know, Church of God, that the way to enjoy life is to serve God, not trash it for Satan. Don't trash your life for Satan. It's your duty to serve God in your youth. It's your duty. It's a really smart thing to do. In light of the fact that you're going to be judged. Unless the Lord comes first, every one of us will grow old. Everything, even the earth, waxes old like a garment. Life is a vapor. Yet God promises you that He gives you good things to eat. He will guide you, sustain you, teach you, so that your youth can be renewed. That's a promise of the Bible. Psalms 103, as well as the book of Proverbs. It's through following God's wisdom that you get this blessing. And He says, don't forsake these blessings. So after your eternity is secured by the blood of our Lord Jesus through faith, you ought to do what you can do to follow His wisdom so you can be as strong as you can be. You ought to take care of your vessels because you do not belong to yourself. You're bought with a price. And what a precious price that is. Now, the first sign of frailty in old age that we have been provided with is given in poetic form. The keepers of the house shall tremble. Now we know bones tremble. Jeremiah says, all my bones shake. And in the last part of verse 3, it says, the grinders cease because they are few. So we're looking at a poetic description of your teeth falling out. This leaves the strong man that bow themselves. Bow. This either refers to the backbone, the spine bones, or perhaps simply the physical head stooping as the person walks. But I want you to understand, though, throughout this chapter, there is a mixture of figurative and literal. In every verse, we just about see this. In verse 5, it says, they shall be afraid of that which is high, and that's coupled with the almond tree shall flourish. The almond tree flourishing, meaning the gray hair, which is a glory if it's found in wisdom. However, the they which shall be afraid is the literal person who has the almond tree. Likewise, it's very possible that the keepers of the house shall tremble, referring to your bones, and strong men shall bow themselves, meaning the man, the person. That's literally what happens. Regardless, in the Bible, bones are always associated with the feminine. With the feminine, a feminine picture. Now, what are some ways that we could put off this state of weakness? None can put it off forever unless the Lord comes first. But it is set before you as an ideal, a blessing, unless God in His providence for some reason interrupts it. You ought not interrupt it by your selfishness. You ought not interrupt it by following Satan. You ought not interrupt it by being foolish and full of lust and gluttony and carelessness. So we need to ask this question, how can we keep our bones healthy and renew our youth in regard to them? Bones are very, very important down at the very foundation of things. It's the first thing that is mentioned, and modern science now is starting to show why the Bible, thousands of years ago, put bones as the central part, the bones in the belly as the central part of your health. This is totally understandable today. Now, it should be obvious that terrible habits such as drinking alcohol, smoking nicotine, harms your bones. It ages you quickly. It leads to brittle bones. A high risk factor, both of them, for osteoporosis, where the body loses too much bone. And they begin to break extremely easy. If it gets bad enough, you can cough and break bones. Now, it's not surprising to anybody that smoking and alcohol destroys your bones. It destroys your health. Smoking keeps you from even using the calcium. You say, I'm taking a multivitamin and I have my calcium. Really? Can you use the calcium? Can you absorb the calcium? Now, other than alcohol and smoking, being underweight leads to the loss of your bone. You know, as if the body is saying, listen, if you're going to starve me, we've got to lighten the ship. I've got to start eating myself. We've got to start using nutrients that we need here to build and to support. So the body starts to basically cave in when you're not getting enough calories. However, overweight increases your risk also for osteoporosis. Various pharma drugs, steroids, increase bone loss. When people give you drugs, you need to study what you're sticking in your mouth and what they are prescribing to you. And you need to know what are all the things. Because I'm going to tell you, a lot of times, what they call a cure is worse than whatever you were taking the drug for. You really want to be on pharma drugs, take some pharma drugs. But let's notice some other things that destroy our bone health. There's the bone shaking here. Up to 90% of peak bone mass is acquired by age 18 in girls and by age 20 in boys, which makes youth the best time to invest in one's bones, bone health. So, you might say, you know what, when I get older, I'm really going to start getting healthy. That's like people say, I really want to start serving the Lord Jesus when I get older. Number one, you need to make sure you are learning good habits and you are instilling in yourself good habits. But not only that, listen, you're making a big mistake because right now is the foundation of just about everything you're going to build upon later in life. So if you decide, hey, I'm just going to enjoy the soft drinks and eat like the devil and just let my health go because I'm young, I've got my youth, you don't understand. God is not mocked. God's not mocked by that mess. He's not mocked spiritually and He's not mocked in the physical world. You right now are growing your bones. It's time for you to invest in a good foundation. Amen to that. So what is the first thing that we need to do? These are not in any particular order, but I'll run through these. If you want to destroy your bone health, if you want to end up with rotten bones, so to speak, just don't exercise. Don't give bones enough physical stress. That is one of the most important things. Exercise can slow bone loss. Just the weight causes them to create more cells and increase their density, according to the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons. Likewise, a complete lack of activity causes bone loss very quickly. So therefore, even quick weight-bearing movements daily can help reduce bone loss. But you know, there's people that don't even get that. They barely put any type of weight on certain parts of their body, and the bones are getting no exercise. They're not getting any stress by which it signals to them that they need to repair, grow, etc. Number two, for women, if you want to preserve your bones, doing what you can to preserve estrogen is very, very crucial. Menopause raises a risk of osteoporosis, since there's a rapid bone loss as estrogen rapidly declines. Now, this is important in our day and age. Inflammation, oxidative stress can easily increase, weakening your bones. So when people start getting osteoporosis at that age of life, the treatment is estrogen replacement therapy. Why? Because they know replacing that estrogen is going to minimize the effects of the bone loss. The problem is that their estrogen replacement therapy brings many unwanted side effects. So we're back to the same thing again. But we have our wisdom in God's preserved word, and praise God for that. So now we understand. For decades you have been told, avoid plastic, which gives a fake estrogen that causes your body to quit making its own. BPA lining in your cans, and antibiotics and hormones and pesticides. And I've preached it and 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 warned you and warned you and warned you, etc., etc. Likewise, when men begin to decline in their testosterone, they're at great risk for osteoporosis. We looked at how to increase it in men and women with black seed oil. What a blessing that will be to your life. Helping women maintain estrogen, helping men maintain testosterone, and about another 500 good things in your life. But notice, the effects of Tulang honey on bone metabolism of postmenopausal women, evidence-based complementary and alternative medicine, volume 212. Tulang honey is one of the best options available as it contains antioxidant as well as exerting anti-inflammatory effect. Tulang honey is found on Asia's largest tree, the Tulang tree. Tulang honey has been shown to exhibit good antioxidant and anti-radical activity. So that's very, very important. As the estrogen decreases, this inflammation and all of these free radicals begin to increase, and there's all kinds of trouble. Study performed by Zaid et al., etc., in 2010 has shown that daily consumption of Tulang honey for just 2 weeks in female ovaryectomized rats was able to promote an increase in bone density. Another study performed on the effects of Tulang honey on postmenopausal women showed that daily intake of Tulang honey at just 20 milligrams a day for 4 months exerted the same effect on bone density when compared to hormone replacement therapy. However, without the side effects. Without the side effects. Praise God for that. Postmenopausal women who received Tulang honey also showed improvement in their immediate memory. Everything starts working again. A study at Purdue University showed that in rats, the absorption of calcium was increased as the amount of honey was increased. You take calcium, but are you absorbing calcium? The honey causes an absorption of the calcium that you're probably barely getting in your diet anyway. Now, what happens when you say, I'm going to take honey and I'm going to exercise? Wow, it's like frankincense and myrrh together. Now you're getting that synergistic effect, and everything boosts each other, and what a blessing that will be. So you have two-lane honey here, and you have BMC, complementary alternative medicine, says effects of honey supplementation combined with different jumping exercise intensities on bone mass in female rats. And they found out that it was a double whammy, a double booster. When they exercised and took the honey, wow, what it did to the bones. You know, God's people are perishing for a simple fact that they have, not only are they not informed, they have rejected God's wisdom. See, they've rejected it. They've rejected it. And you're going to pay a price for that. And so will your children. God goes on to say your children will pay the price for you rejecting wisdom. God help us. God help us. Now this two-lane honey is a very high antioxidant honey. It's like Manuka. You've heard of that. And really, there's the darker honeys. We have them in America like buckwheat honey, the really dark honeys, you know. But all honey is good for your bones to some degree. They have various degrees of antioxidants, etc. So I would recommend, if you can, get some of this other type of honey. But all raw honey is good for your bones in proper moderation. So we're not surprised that they're finding these things, because our Bible shows us immediately. Here it is. Proverbs 16, pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul, that's inward, and health to the bones. Now, you've got a lot going on here. You have inward and you have outward. And you're told that pleasant words bless you inwardly, and we're going to see they bless you outwardly too in your physical life. Well, so does honeycomb. Honey will bless your bones. God is showing you here that honeycomb blesses your bones. So, I believe Solomon, who teaches you spiritual truth while he teaches you physical truth, the Bible says he studied Proverbs, he studied a lot of things, but it goes on to say that he studied the plants of the earth too. He wrote volumes and volumes. And I tell you, I don't think anybody has ever outdone Solomon when it came to studying the plants. So when you read Song of Solomon, there's some physical truth mixed with all those prophetic and beautiful spiritual truths. So what Solomon is saying is, here you go, I'm telling you some beautiful spiritual truth, but right now I need to let you know honey is good for your bone. How did Solomon know honey was good for your bone? We know that today, but he knew it back then as well. And he had ways of knowing. He has ways of knowing. Not to mention, this is inspired scripture. This is inspired scripture. Whether Solomon knew it or not, the Holy Ghost knew it. And he gave it to you. And God says, I give you good things to eat that your youth may be renewed if you just listen to God. They said, you know, people didn't have faith in God's word, so it didn't profit them. You don't believe in God's word? You're not going to apply what it says? Then go ahead and get weak bones. God forbid, God forbid. Let's move on. Doing what we can to avoid all things that cause inflammation and oxidative stress. Using all the cleansing antioxidants. The Bible diet is known for being anti-inflammatory compared to the sad American diet, the standard American diet. There's always poisons trying to invade that you get from the environment, from eating unwisely. And so you need to take things that will block these things, but you also need to not put trash in. To whatever degree you can, not put trash in. Some will be created through the natural process, and it's supposed to come out. And it's very important that you... I avoid nightshades, you know. Long before the Tom Brady diet, I'm not into the nightshades and on these other things that have been linked to arthritis and inflammation. You could take frankincense and boswellia and turmeric and things like that. You can take your honey and you could take bee pollen. You can take all those things that help you cleanse this trash from your body. Now, most people have heard that if you want good bone health, you need to have calcium in the right degree, magnesium, and vitamin D. You need all three of those together. Bone strength is due to minerals. So So you need calcium. But if you're going to absorb your calcium, you need vitamin D. You know, sunlight's a major source of vitamin D, as are egg yolks, certain fatty fish. This is why I recommend cod liver oil regularly. But not only is vitamin D required for you to process and absorb your calcium, but so is magnesium required for your vitamin D metabolism. So you need the vitamin D to help the magnesium, and You need the magnesium for your vitamin D, and you need your vitamin D for your calcium absorption. Vitamin C helps you prevent bone loss. If calcium is lacking from your diet, your body is going to leach it from the skeleton. And a strange thing is happening, because people in Korea, they're studying these things, and they're saying, now why is it when we give people milk, their teeth still rot, but if we give them yogurt, their teeth don't rot? And they said, I think it has to be the probiotics, which is why the dead milk that people are drinking today is a big problem. You're not getting the full blessing that you could have by the dead milk. And so we need to get back to these raw and fermented type dairy products. If you are, and really this would be a blessing even if you can process dairy and you're not allergic to it, a 1 ounce serving of chia seeds provides nearly 20% of your daily calcium needs, plus amazing fiber. They also are full of omega-3 fats, which along with calcium improve your bone mass. So omega-3s are anti-inflammatory. Studies reveal it helps restore bone loss. So just taking some chia seeds, you're not only getting that fiber that's so important, especially for allergies and things like that, and so much more. You're helping the belly, but you're getting the calcium that your body needs. What a blessing to add that to your diet. We know in the Bible, every man dwelled under his fig tree was considered the ideal. Figs, just 5 fresh figs, have 90 milligrams of calcium. So half a cup of dried figs have 121 milligrams of calcium. So you just look in the Bible and realize, wow, they were getting what they needed for essential health in the diet that God ordained for them. And He wants you to learn from these things. He wants us to learn. What else can we do? What else can we do? Chia seeds. What else can we do? Boron. This is an interesting trace mineral of sorts here. Boron. There is an article, Nothing Boring About Boron. I suggest you read that. It comes from an evolutionary, but just ignore all of that and see the amazing things they are discovering about boron. Boron helps. Basically, you could look at the word boron and connect it to the word booster. It is the supercharged booster for absorption of all of these things, whether it's your testosterone, whether it's your estrogen as a female, whether it's the calcium in your body, whatever it is, this boron boosts it where it needs to be in an amazing way. What it does is it enhances bone health by increasing how long vitamin D and other nutrients work in your body. So they keep it working, they keep it there. People with low levels of vitamin D are likely to have low levels of boron. Eating foods that contain boron is what I would suggest. It's very popular now on the internet to take the laundry detergent boron, you know, and take a little bit of that. I would just recommend drinking prune juice. I would recommend prunes, avocados, dried apricots, and raisins. Wow, you fill yourself full of that, you're going to get a boost in your hormones, a boost in a lot of things, but it's going to be good for you. It's going to be good for you. I believe. Avocado, make an avocado shake, put a little prune juice in it. What a blessing. Get the boron that you need and boost everything. Give everything a boost. Although honey is good in proper moderation for our bones, cane sugar and high fructose corn syrup are poisons. 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 We've seen that sugar feeds the bad bacteria that then discharge waste all over your teeth and rot your teeth. I've showed how your teeth rot because you gave the bacteria something to eat without anything to neutralize them. We'll show later that, and remind you, that they tried to invent their own honey with fructose, sucrose, and glucose, but it still rotted the teeth. And they said, what is it about honey? God in nature gave us what we need if it's something He ordains for you to put in your body. So, to me, if sugar feeds bad bacteria that rot your teeth because of the waste that they bring forth, isn't it reasonable to conclude that sugar feeds the bugs inside your body that are bad and causes all kinds of damage internally inside your body? You know that rotting teeth spread infection throughout your body, or they can. Maybe you've heard of jaw necrosis, where the jawbone, because of the tooth, begins to rot. So your bones begin to rot because of what's happening in the mouth. Infections inside the body then can attack your bones. So as they go through your body, you're always under attack, and hopefully your defenses are pushing back the attack. But what happens is it's trying to find a way to get into those bones and infect you. And what is an infection other than rotting your bones? So why use sugar that increases the risk for infection and feeds cancer with nothing to offset it? Cancer is a very hungry thing, and it can live off many things, and it can try to eat anything, you know, but such as protein and other things, ketones and other things. It'll eat a lot of things, but it loves sugar. It loves sugar. Even the tests they do to see if you have cancer is they're showing where, what cells are the hungriest for this sugar, this glucose. So you need to understand, if you want osteoporosis, if you want bad bone health, just continue with your sugar and ignore all the warnings. Diabetic patients are at higher risk for a bone infection. There it is. Why are they higher risk? What is it about the sugar? What is it about the inability to process the sugar that leads? Many have said that diabetes is cane sugar disease, and that's been known for centuries. Suicide by Sugar by Nancy Appleton says sugar has been linked to the cancer process ever since Dr. Otto Warburg won the 1931 Nobel Prize in Medicine. And before he died, he said, you know what, I'm staying away. I'm not going to drink milk or eat bread or anything that's got these pesticides. He's convinced that the not only the sugar, but the pesticides and chemicals that they're sticking in your food are leading to the cancer. For his work on cancer's energy cycle, researchers outside the U.S. found that high sucrose intake resulted in a slightly more than doubled risk of developing colon cancer. Sugar feeds cancer. Sugar feeds cancer. Suicide by sugar, our number two national addiction. Missouri Medicine 2018 says sugar may lead to osteoporosis. Why? By increasing inflammation, hyperinsulinemia, increased renal acid load, reduced calcium intake, and increased urinary calcium excretion. Do you know what that just said? It says it gets rid of all your calcium or increases your calcium excretion. So when you eat sugar, it causes you to get rid of the little bit of calcium you probably have and probably that you're absorbing. It causes it to be excreted. Reduce sunlight exposure, lower intake of calcium-rich foods are modifiable risk factors for osteoporosis. Lower amounts of estrogen can further decrease bone formation and growth of new bone in women, leading to osteoporosis. But one study reported that the ingestion of 100 grams of galactose and glucose in healthy subjects significantly increased the urinary excretion of calcium, magnesium, and potassium. And he goes on and on and on for study after study. What are they showing? They're showing sugar causes your body to get rid of the important things you needed for not only bone health, but so much else in your body. Go ahead. Keep eating it. God help you. suggesting an increased need for these minerals after ingestion of sugar. Experiments in animals have observed urinary mineral loss after ingestion of dietary sugar. In a study conducted by Erickson in subjects after consuming either 100 grams of sucrose or glucose, a strong positive association between calcium and magnesium excretion rates was observed. This study showed that the consumption of dietary sugar leads to an increase in the urinary excretion of both calcium and magnesium. Furthermore, sugar consumption is also associated with a decrease in the active form of vitamin D. Well, that's just wonderful in the day of coronavirus, isn't it? How much sunlight are you getting? How much vitamin D are you getting? You need to take these things in the best natural form. The overconsumption of sugar may also impair bone formation by causing high glucose levels in the blood. Moreover, hyperglycemia, which is commonly driven by a diet high in sugar, is associated with lower bone quality and density. Lawrence, etc., presented a study on a 9-week-old female mice where they were given a high-fat sucrose diet for 10 weeks and observed a detrimental impact on bone structure. Moreover, long-term ingestion of a high-fat sucrose diet for 24 months in female rats also showed an adverse effect on the cortical bone. Diabetes and hyperglycemia are associated with higher risk for osteoporosis, bone fractures, impaired bone strength, etc. Keep eating your sugar. You want to keep eating sugar? You are taking away the very thing that you need. You better have a healthy diet. You putting that stuff in your mouth, boy, you better have a healthy diet because you're getting rid of some valuable things. It's a lot of money to eat right. It's a lot of money to get the nutrients we need. And you need to pray for your daily bread. And we need to pray God will supply our needs. But I don't want anything in my body that's going to eat up this stuff and cause it to be excreted from my body, so to speak. Here's a study. And AlgaCal.com says the dangers of sugar in bone health, more addictive than cocaine. Weren't we taught the only downside of sugar was cavities? Now we know it increases the likelihood that you'll have diabetes, heart issues, acne, depression, cancer, yeast infections, and osteoporosis. But why doesn't osteoporosis make the top 6 list when you look up on Google what's wrong with sugar? Or in any other list? We've been led to believe that as long as we get enough calcium, we will be fine. But the countries that have the highest calcium and sugar consumption rates also have the highest rates of osteoporosis. Sugar negatively affects your bones by increasing glucose levels in your cells. Sugar strips your body of its stores. What does it do? It causes calcium depletion. It robs your bones of magnesium, and it increases cortisol levels, which you'll see in a moment. That stress, according to our Bible, not handled rightly, the wrong kind of stress, not handled rightly, will destroy your bones, will destroy your bones. And sugar basically increases these cortisol levels. Exercise. Eat some honey. Eat some avocados. Stay away from poisons. Get your calcium, your magnesium, your vitamin D, your boron, and stay away from sugar. But number 7, sin and stress from things like guilt or stress that is not dealt with properly can lead to physical problems even down to your very bones. Now, let me say that again in case anybody fell asleep. When you sin, that brings guilt. And when that guilt's not dealt with properly, it's going to destroy your very bones. Stress in your life that's not handled properly, not given to God. You don't have a prayer life that's right. You're not trusting God in faith. You're living a life that should not be full of the stress because of your lack of priority or other things, a lack of balance. All of these things, this busy life, it's not wrong to be active. It's just wrong not to have the proper supports for that active life. The Lord knew how to go to that garden, His favorite place. He knew how to go up into the mountain. They were in the Word Families ought to sit down together and have their meals together. You ought to pray. You ought to read the Bible. You ought to have your quiet time with the Lord. And you ought to walk by faith. We ought to live by faith. We ought to trust God. We ought to exhort one another with the Word of God. The Bible links bone health to your health in general. Your very blood cells are rooted there. Your immune system, all down in your bones. Solomon knew what he was talking about. Here's a study in Frontiers of Endocrinology. Bone accomplishes several unexpected functions besides its classical role in locomotion and protection of vital organs. What's the bone do? It helps you move, you know, helps you protect your organs. Oh, but wait a minute. Solomon said it does a lot more than that. And now we know. It is now well accepted that bone has a role in the regulation of glucose metabolism, energy expenditure, male fertility, and cognitive functions. That's your thinking, your brain. There's a lot going on in that bone. No wonder Solomon, it's like the belly. No wonder Solomon, inspired in his writing by the Lord, links your health to the belly and your bones. Arthritis Foundation, how your mood can affect bone health. A 2014 study published in Psychosomatic Medicine found that bone density was 52% higher in postmenopausal women who reported feeling satisfied with their lives. Just an interesting link there. This is remarkable because not only depression, but also lower subjective well-being is associated with bone loss, said the lead author of the study. The mechanism of action in the relationship between life dissatisfaction and bone loss is still unclear. And they're saying it even goes beyond that when you're depressed, you don't eat. They said there's a lot of things going on here that we don't understand, but some of it they do understand. We know chronic stress has biological consequences. Now you keep this in mind when we're about to read from Solomon. Chronic stress has biological consequences. Increased levels of bone resorption and systemic inflammation markers, which cause the bones to weaken, have been found in depression. A 2015 study published in the Journal of Musculoskeletal Neuronal Interactions found that men with recurrent major depressive disorder had lower bone mineral density. So somebody says, I know what I'll do. I'll run the psychologist, my doctor, and I'll get me some pharma brain drugs, some antidepressants, you know. Boy, you're really going to have, according to what I believe and according to my study, you're really going to have some bone problems if you do that. See, so you need to fix this thing another way, in my opinion. Frontiers of Endocrinology says recent research has laid ground to the hypothesis that mental stress also influences bone biology, eventually leading to osteoporosis and increased bone fracture risk. What they're saying now is the evidence is overwhelming that what's happening in your spirit and in your brain and in your emotions, if not dealt with properly, is going to influence your bone health in a negative way. Impacts of psychological stress on osteoporosis. Now let's open up the Bible. Because the Bible's thousands of years ahead of all this stuff. This is like a bunch of earthworms trying to study the ground or something, you know. Let's go back to the Bible. I just quote this to show you just how wonderful and amazing the light of the Bible is. See, every knee will bow. One day, whether they like it or not, all these scientists are going to bow their knee to God. And they're having to confess. God right now, even before the second coming, is causing them to confess His Word, whether they like it or not. So let's go back to the real doctor, amen? Let's go back to the real doctor. Job 21. His bones are moistened with marrow. That's a good thing, according to God, according to Job. You don't want dry bones. Proverbs 3. Be not wise in thy own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. Well, what's going to happen? It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. These are pictures of soul health and spirit health. See, the bone being a picture of your soul, your emotions, your affections, your belly being a picture of your emotions, the marrow of the bone being a picture of your spirit. And I'm telling you, not only do you get internal blessings in your soul and spirit, but marrow to thy bones and health to thy navel is also literal. When you serve God and fear Him, and you don't walk in your own wisdom, like many that hear this message will, they'll walk out there and begin to walk in your own wisdom still, in spite of what God has said in the Word, you're going to end up with good health if you follow His wisdom. You're going to end up in cursed health many times if you follow your own wisdom. Proverbs 14, a sound heart is the life of the flesh. That's your mind. It's the life of the flesh. But envy, that's not a sound mind. Envying somebody, hating somebody, walking around with hatred because you're jealous, walking around with sinful envy, what does it do? You walk around, you say, not only does it poison you, not only is it a horrible feeling to walk around with envy all the time, hating people because they have something you don't have, because they have a wife you don't have, or a husband you don't have, or looks you don't have, or money you don't have, or opportunity you don't have, or wisdom you don't have. Whatever it is, you start envying people, it'll tear you up, buddy. It will tear you up, but it will actually start rotting your bones. The Bible says envy is the rottenness of the bones. It's the opposite of this. The sound mind, the sound heart, is life of your flesh. But envy, it begins to rot your bones. Now, that is thousands of years ago. Now they're finding out that the way you think affects your bone health. Now you think about that. When you're sitting around thinking, well, I'm just poisoning my mind, that's all that matters. No, your mind is now poisoning your body. Your mind is poisoning your body. That's why you could be totally healthy, 100% organic. All these antioxidants, do everything. Stay away from BPA the best you can. Do all of that stuff and try to live healthy. And if you got this poisonous thinking, you've got this sin in your life, it's going to destroy you. It'll destroy you. Unconfessed sin, this guilt, it'll destroy you. Proverbs 15, the light of the eyes rejoice the heart. And a good report makes the bones fat. They're starting to study now and have a whole new insight on bones being fat. We know we want them dense. But we see a good report makes the bones fat. Not only your soul bones, but there's something about good news. Good news that leads to health in your bones. Aren't you glad when you read the book of Revelation, there's a lot of bad things there. There's a lot of bad things. But I tell you, it says God wins in the end. Isn't that good news? Isn't that good news? Isn't it good to read the Bible and read that God's in control and that He wins? And the Bible, God doesn't want you walking in a tormenting fear. He wants you to tremble before Him, but He doesn't want you getting out here sinning and being tormented by guilt. That's not God's ideal for you. See. We ought to have encouraging words to one another. It brings health to your bone. Proverbs 17, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. That's not talking about a false, like wisdom, like Solomon called the crackling of thorns under the pot, the wisdom of fools, the laughter of fools, I mean. But a merry heart that comes from a good conscience, that comes from rejoicing in God's promises, that comes from all the hope that Scripture brings us. A merry heart that comes from fellowshipping with one another and getting out here and living with one another, you know, and not being isolated in a bad way, getting out here and doing things for God and getting that good conscience that comes, that you're serving God, you're helping somebody, you're doing what's right, you're putting God first. Praise God, all of that does good like a medicine. But a broken spirit, that's not talking about humility. The broken spirit means a broken mind that comes from a guilt ridden mind, an envious mind, a lustful mind, somebody messing with pornography and all of that trash. A broken spirit dries the bones. Not only your soul bones, not only your emotions, not only does it get rid of all your feelings inside, but the broken spirit dries your literal physical bones. You might say it leads to an early death, and you will have some dry bones eventually. But there's more that goes on even right now in your life while you're living in the destruction of your bones, the decay of your bones. Proverbs 16, we read it, pleasant words, as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Soul and bones. Bones are a picture of the soul. Marrow is a picture of the inner spirit, the mind. But what we see here is that pleasant word. Does this mean that we ought to just be positive thinkers? No. 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 This isn't talking about witchcraft or positive thinking. This isn't talking about the old mind science mess, you know, where you try to think things demonically into existence and all. No. This is talking about the hope that's in the Word of God. This is talking about confessing your sins and getting full of God and getting that peace that comes from thinking about God and His promises and His truth. Now, if this is all true, and we know it is, a good report makes the bones healthy. A merry heart makes the bones healthy. Pleasant words make the bones healthy. Then the opposite is true. That which destroys your hope, that which brings more guilt and sin in your life. I don't mean preaching. I'm talking about somebody encouraging you to sin. See, it sounds pleasant, but it's destructive. God says they've healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly. They haven't healed it. It's all fake. You said, oh, but I love to listen to the pleasant words. Well, they warn you that there's some pleasant words that really aren't pleasant. They're poison. The devil's words are poison. But it's also true. It's also true that the broken spirit dries the bones. Things that lead you to sin. Things that lead you to discouragement. Dry up your bones. Proverbs 12, now hold on. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. They say, well, number one, that does lead you to an early death. Marriage troubles, contention. Wickedness in the home can affect the health of the whole family if not dealt with properly. The best thing is not to do anything. Don't get married to somebody that doesn't fear God. And of course, there's no guarantee that they're always going to fear God, but do what you can to always give things to God and deal with your problems with God and with the help of the people that God's put in your life to help you bear these burdens. Otherwise, it will lead you to an early grave. And it'll lead you to much misery. And I believe it will lead you to disease right now in your life, in your bones. People say, well, you know, there's no real rottenness in your bones. Really? Well, the word rot simply comes from Old English that means to decay. Of course there's rotten bones. What do you think an infection is? An infection is a rot. Jawbone necrosis. What in the world do you think that is? This is the poor fella that was dealing with that for a while. You get the idea. Now, what you think and how you think greatly affects the state of your physical health. You can't control everybody around you. This is why the Lord says there's a right response to make to those that are not following God. When they persecute you for righteousness' sake, he says, leap with joy. Knowing, concentrating, remembering that you now have hope in heaven. But no, even though we can't control one another, we now have a responsibility toward one another. Do you see that? Don't be a contentious wife. Don't be that type of husband that leads to the discouragement. As fathers, God, help us to be wise. Help us to speak to one another in love. It doesn't mean that everything's going to feel good. Nathan, what he brought to David didn't feel good to David, but it did bring healing. But it ought to be brought in love, right? We ought not rail on one another. We ought not be bitter and biting and nasty to one another. And some people, the home, the very home itself is full of a lot of nasty, just tearing one another down in a horrible way, just trying to hurt one another in a way that doesn't build up and edify. Everything that we say ought to in some way be edifying. Even if it's down the road a few days, it ought to be something that leads to health in our life. Let's remember that. Let's remember this now. Isaiah 66 says, when you see this, your heart shall rejoice and your bones shall flourish like an herb. God says there are certain things I'm going to do that's going to bring so much hope and blessing to you that's going to make your bones flourish. But He talks about times when there's no hope and the bones begin to rot. The bones begin to rot and dry. Wow. So, depression for the wrong reasons. Stress for the wrong reasons or not dealt with properly. Leads you to an early grave, but we know there's more to all of this. There's more. Here's an article title, Stress-Related Disorders Were Significantly Associated with Risk of Subsequent Autoimmune Diseases. We know various diseases, there is a very, very big link between stress and these autoimmune diseases. We see cortisol indirectly acts on bone by blocking calcium absorption. Uh-oh, now we're starting to not only see the link, but some mechanisms of action. How does stress lead? We know there's this association. How does stress lead to poor bone health? Now they're finding out, well, when the cortisol is released, that it blocks your calcium absorption. That's not good. You're probably not even getting the calcium you need, and now you're getting it blocked. God help us. The relationship between cortisol and bone mineral density and competitive male cyclists, Journal of Sports Medicine. So, stress is bad news. Oh, I took me a big multivitamin. It's probably full of so much synthetic, fake stuff that, you know, even calcium supplements, you know. They said for some reason when people got calcium from food, they didn't have heart attack risk. But when they started taking calcium supplements, their heart attack risk went up. So you got to watch, study. I'm not saying all supplements are bad. We take all kinds of supplements. But know what the supplement is and do your best to research, should I be taking this in this form? You know, is there a reason why I should be taking this in this form instead of a food-based form? That's why if you can, go get, if you have to take supplements, that's fine. Just make sure on the back it's a food. You're taking olive leaf. You're taking something that's a food, you know. And that's not always an absolute, but you just need to study that a little bit. So you get out here and you get this stress in your life. You're not dealing with it properly, and now you're getting your calcium absorption. It's not just that you don't eat right. It's not just as you want comfort food and your little Debbie cakes or your potato chips or whatever, your caffeine drink and all the other stuff with the soda pop that has the phosphoric acid that goes in and leaches everything from you. It's not just that. It's that it's actually hindering your calcium absorption. And we know it also causes you to excrete the calcium in your urine. Now, I want to change gears real quick. You need to know inside of you are soul bones. And that your soul is actually pictured by bones. Bones are a picture of the feminine soul, which is pictured as feminine because it's in the receiving, in other words, in the responsive place. Heaven is called male, earth is called female. In the Bible, your soul is likened unto female, and your spirit is likened unto male. So let's read this. Psalms 34, David's talking, and he says, "My soul," King James Bible only, "my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad." Then the Bible shows you the soul is the realm of your desire, your affection, your feelings, your emotions. And the Bible likens that to female. Why? Because it's going to show you something very important here in a second. First Peter tells us that the spirit is masculine. Let it be the hidden man of the heart, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. And there's other verses, Ephesians 3, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. And there's the spirit of your understanding. There is this understanding part of you, your conscience, your understanding, your intellect. And we know the New Agers. I've quoted the witches in the New Agers. They understand this. But you know what they say? They say, yeah, the intuition, the desires, the affections, that's all feminine. And the intellect, the conscience, that's all male. That's masculine. But they say, Shakti Gawan, they say, these New Age witches say, make sure the feminine is always in the guiding position. The Bible reverses that. There's Adam and there's Eve. Your intellect, your mind ought to be in the guiding position. You should not follow feelings without searching them. The Bible says the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching, that means judging, discerning all the inward parts of the belly. What are you learning here? You're learning that God says, let the man be in the guiding position. It doesn't mean you can't do anything because you feel like it. It means that it ought to be discerned properly, the best you can. I feel like doing this. Is it right? See, your feelings are a garden. And just like it says in the Bible, Adam called Eve bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. And it says that the Lord Jesus and the church, He washes the church. Just like a man ought to wash the wife with the water of the Word, meaning that he is the leader of the home to read the Bible. Doesn't mean the woman can't read the Bible, but he has a place where he ought to be leading the home spiritually. He ought to be making sure that there's Bible study. He ought to be making sure that there's prayer. He ought to be making sure that he's teaching in the home. Doesn't mean that he can't be taught, but you get my point. The Bible puts these things in that order for a reason. And the world, the Satanists, reverse it upside down. It says, let your intuition, let your feelings be the guide. That was the whole hippies, are you experienced? If it feels good, do it. And it's in the book of Jude that they'll be as brute beasts in the last days. Now let's go back and read this again. Some of these verses. His bones are moistened with marrow. How do you end up with good feelings? You better have good thoughts. You better have good thoughts. Hey, listen, your emotional life is largely controlled by what you think and what you do. A woman says, you know what, I don't feel like we've been married 50 years and I don't feel like I love my husband. Well, what have you been thinking about lately? A man says, well, I just don't feel like I love her anymore. I've had men tell me that. As if that's some big thing. It is a big thing. It's a sad thing. But what? It's not a big excuse for you to leave your wife. Which the buzzard ended up doing after he left our church. But I'm telling you, your feelings can be changed. Not directly,
but indirectly. How you feel can be changed by what you think. It's not instant. But as you begin to think right, it's like pushing something. And the momentum builds, and the momentum builds, and then it starts rolling, and then it starts rolling good. It's like your metabolism and diet or something, you know. You start pushing it, you start pushing it. It's not moving. But then all of a sudden, it's rolling, it's going. So what you think indirectly, sooner or later, will, most of the time, bring forth fruit in your feelings. So, for so long, I've told people in marriage, sit down and write down all the good things you like about your husband. Write down the things that are good and godly and right and true. Same with your wife. Same with anybody in church. And you know what? As you begin to think and concentrate, this is why God says that we ought to count these blessings. That's why the song and the hymn, you ought to sit down and think about the good things God's done for you. You ought to be like Jacob and say, it's better than I deserve. I'm not worthy of the least of thy mercies. You ought to think about these things. And you know what? It begins to change your feelings. You come to church, you begin to sing. Remember the psalmist. He was almost slipping because of his envy and because of his resentment. And he was angry. Amen. He was angry. But then he went to church. He went into the sanctuary of God. And what did he find? When we go to God in prayer, when we get in the Word of God, when we go to church and hear the preaching, all of a sudden it stirs up things in us and we begin to feel differently. But listen, it's not going to last forever. If you don't keep feeding your emotions, if you don't keep feeding these bones, it's going to dry up. You can't just live on what you got a couple weeks ago. You've got to continue to feed and continue to feed and continue to plant and water and sow. Proverbs 3, be not wise in thy own eyes, fear the Lord, depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Tell you what, you want a good spirit to feed these bones? Fear God. Fear God. Otherwise, you're going to end up with a broken spirit, a weak spirit. Proverbs 14, a sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy the rottenness of the bones. What your spirit does, what you think about is going to lead to either health or rottenness in your emotions, as well as your physical bone. But we're looking at it in a spiritual way, a figurative way at this moment. The light of the eyes rejoices the heart, and a good report makes the bones fat. Let your spirit be full of God's Word so you'll have a good report to make your emotions happy. Proverbs 17, I don't believe that a man's absolutely responsible, just like a woman's not absolutely responsible for the sins of the man. But there is a big link. There is a big link between how the man responds in the house and if she follows what he's giving, if she follows the encouragements and the truths of the Scripture, it will lead to a healthy home. It really will. If he's in the Word of God and he's giving out the truth of the Bible, it's going to lead to a healthy home. And you're not even going to know why. Just from out of nowhere, you're just getting joy in the house. Where did this come from? It comes from God's Word. It comes from the fellowship in the Spirit. That's why coming to church, and it's a God-based, second coming focused church that's Bible-believing and full of the fear of God, it leads to a happiness that you can't even explain it. It leads to a peace that you never really understand till you leave, which is why backsliders and sinners have called me many years later and said, I was only happy when I was there in that country church. Why is that? Why is it? Can you explain that to me before I die? Can you explain to me why that was my only happiness? Because you're in the presence of the Holy Spirit. You're in the presence of God's body and a Holy Spirit body. And whether you are miserable there, you're going to find out you were really happy. Happier than you'll ever be out in that stinking world that lieth in wickedness. Merry heart does good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. You don't want a broken spirit in that way. When your spirit's messed up, it's like marrow in those bones. When you have a messed up mind, you're going to have messed up feelings and messed up desires and messed up affections. You say, well, I'm just tempted. I just feel miserable. Well, go home, fix yourself. Well, I just have a bitter, resentful feeling. Well, what have you been thinking about? You go home and fix your thoughts. Let me help you fix your thoughts. I'm mad at God. Well, you go home and fix it. Fix it right now. Don't even go home. Fix it right now. Let's fix our thoughts. Let's get our thoughts right. Let's talk about this for a moment. God is good. Amen. God's done good things. I tell you what, God doesn't owe us anything. Praise God that He's been so merciful to us. Pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Words do have a great effect. What you think, what you say, it's not magic. It's just common sense. What you say and what you think is going to affect how you feel. Oh, let's spread edification. Let's build up the bones. Let's build up the emotions. Hey, there's a place for kind words. There's a place for encouraging words. There's a place for words of hope. There's a place for pleasant words. Oh, God help us. As strong as we are to preach the warnings, let's make sure that we're strong to preach the encouragements. We need it, amen? Oh, without vision, God's people perish. Without hope and encouragement, we're gonna dry up, folks. We're going to dry up. Psalm 63, my soul shall be satisfied as with marrow. What an amazing King James Bible we have. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow, because we found out that the soul is the bones. There it is. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. Remember, David said, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. How did he get a soul? How do you get? You ever seen people, they're just so happy, they're just singing to the Lord, and they're so happy. How did they get that way? How did they get that way? How did they get that joy of the Lord? How did they get like that? Well, King James Bible. You won't find it in an NIV, the non-inspired version. Luke 1, Mary said, my soul has magnified the Lord. No. My soul doth. That past tense or present tense? My soul doth magnify the Lord. My spirit hath, past tense, rejoiced in God my Savior. If you want your soul to be full of good feelings that's just magnifying, you know, sometimes you walk around, your soul's not magnifying God at all. What did David do when his soul got out of line? Why art thou cast down, my soul? Hope thou in God. What's David doing? he's using his spirit to nourish the soul, because when you feed your soul, when you plant godly thoughts and godly words into your soul, your emotions, not immediately, but sooner or later, will begin to rejoice in God. Not going to last forever. But you need to keep feeding it. Keep feeding it. That's why we go to church. That's why we read the Bible. That's why we have family devotions. That's why we exhort one another daily. That's why we get in the Scripture. That's why we sing sometimes when you don't feel like it. So hopefully by the next third or fourth song, you will feel like it. Amen. Woo, amen to that. What your spirit does is what your soul, what your spirit has done is what your soul is going to feel. Apply that to anything in your life. You want to feel rotten about your husband? You want all your love and affection? You say, well, I don't even feel like hugging him. Well, you just continue with rotten, stinking thinking and just sit there and concentrate. Get some friends to call you up and stir you up in rotten spirit thinking. And that's going to cause you to feel rotten. It's going to cause you, and you say, well, I can't change my feeling. Why, you lying, you certainly can change your feeling. Who told you you can't change your feelings? Of course you can change your feelings to some degree. All of the old devotional writers understood that. From Finney to C.S. Lewis to everybody, to Jonathan Edwards, they all understood you can change your affections by what you think. You've just been thinking wrong. You've been talking to the wrong people. You've been listening to the wrong preaching. You get around good people. You walk with good people that tell you good things. Oh my, it changes how you feel, folks. It changes how you feel. Praise God for that. Now I want to show you something prophetic.
Ecclesiastes 12, in the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble and the strong men shall bow themselves. I believe in a prophetic sense, we're looking at the breakdown of society toward the end of time. You know, God can do a lot of things, and I just kind of sense, and I've always sensed it, that there's something prophetic going on here as well. You know, you see the sun being dark and all of that, and that's old age for the person. But you're also looking at a prophecy toward the end of time when everything is just going to decay and wax old like a garment. And I believe what the Bible's saying is that the women who are the keepers of the house shall begin to tremble. They shall be afraid to be godly, afraid to be women. The Bible says if you're not afraid with amazement, that if you're not afraid to be feminine, you'll respect your husband, you'll respect and be feminine in a godly way. And why are they now trembling? Why are the women they are? And I'm not putting all blame on men, but I'm telling you there's a lot of blame on men. And that's because the strong men have bowed themselves. See, when men as leaders, what does it say in the last days? It says that many women, some women, they shall leave the home. And it says that these creepers are going to creep in, these creeping men, and lead them astray. So you're going to have daughters and wives that are going to be led astray from their homes by these creeping men. See, there's men that have bowed to the world. They have bowed to the spirit of Satan. There's men that have bowed and they have lost their faith. They are not men in the definition of the word. They have not quit themselves like men. They're weak, spineless, sissy men. And wherever you have these sissy men, the women are afraid to be feminine, see? The women are afraid to walk in the place that God has put them. And what you end up having is you have a trembling. And now there's insecurity. There's the breakdown. There's depression. There's all this stress. And now there's a loss of physical health. And all of society begins to be cursed. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. I believe we can go back to that prophecy, so to speak, and say in the last days are going to be horrible feelings. People's emotional life is going to be a wreck. There's going to be insecurity everywhere. Not only in the home, but inside of us, our soul is in total disarray. Why? Because our minds are full of Hollywood. It's full of everything but the Word of God. And if we'd get our minds where they need to be, our feelings would be in a much better situation. You know, they used to say, when somebody said, "I hate somebody," the old theologians would say, "Well, go do something good to them then. Go do something good for them." Like, "I don't want to do anything good for them. I hate them." So go do something good for them. And over, century after century, people would testify that when I began to do good things toward the person, my feelings began to change toward the person. Oh, but the opposite's true, Church of God, as I close. The opposite's true. May you remember it. Proverbs 26 says, "A lying tongue hates those that are afflicted by it." Not only is it an act of hatred to lie to somebody, it's a terrible thing to do to somebody, to lie to them, but you're going to be filled with hatred because you deceived them. Hey, young person, I don't believe you want to hate your father. I don't believe you want to hate your mother. But you know what? When you deceive them behind their back, that act of deception causes you to hate them. And I tell you what, hell itself will never know the hatred that will be stirred up in your heart when you do something evil towards someone. When you cheat on somebody, the hatred that you will have in your heart for them, it's just unbelievable. Just like the peace of God passeth all understanding when you do things right, when you do things good. When you sin against people, you're going to have feelings of hatred like you have never seen. So what do we do? What do we do?
Try to love one another. Try to do what's right. Try to think right, Philippians 4. Paul says, whatever you've seen in me, do. Think good thoughts. True thoughts. Praiseworthy things. Think on these. And it'll keep your hearts and minds. Dear Lord, I do pray something I've said here leads to better health for your people. I pray something I've said here, Lord, leads to better inward health, emotional health, marriage health, family health, church health. I pray some young people have learned an important key today, God, not only how to take care of their body, the temple of the Holy Ghost, but they've learned that their mind is a garden, Lord. And I pray that they've learned that what they plant in that garden is what they're going to feel and what they're going to walk around with and the type of temptations they're largely going to experience. I know, Lord, we can't remove every bad thought from our heart. But Father, I do pray that we will begin to do what we can to cleanse our hearts as you command us. Cleanse our hearts. Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Cleansing ourselves from all filthiness of flesh and spirit. Bless this church. Help them to be bold for you and your ways. Help them learn. In Jesus' holy name, amen.